Helen's here.
Hi, Helen. How are you doing?
Okay. Did you have a good trip back?
Yes, indeed.
Good.
How was your trip?
I'm sorry?
How was your trip?
It was highly eventful.
Jennifer's here.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Tom's here.
Hi, Tom.
Alan, Randy asked me to tell you that he's not going to be able to make class this week, either tonight or tomorrow, because he's taking a course, and he got bogged down with it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to call you for makeup probably next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Or he could come to lab, too.
Right.
You might mention that to him to come to rent to that lab.
I will. I think he, the class, the other class he's taking, the other course,
mm-hmm.
is on Wednesday night.
Oh, I see.
But it's the last class this week,
mm-hmm.
so he'll do stuff the following week.
Sure. And today, Dan? No? Okay. Anybody else?
Hello?
Hello?
This is Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
Hey, Alan. Hello, everybody. Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. Good, good, good.
Hi.
So, let's light our candles and go. Tom, how are you holding up?
I'm good. Thanks.
Are you doing better?
Yeah, been better.
Oh, that's wonderful. And Helen, are you having some interesting realizations?
I definitely, a lot of stuff, so I haven't really sorted it out yet. Do you mean from our session on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely, my sleep felt different, better.
Good.
And there is more observer stuff going on for me.
Good.
And then something happened this morning, but I'm not sure what.
Something happened, but you don't know what?
Yeah, I got extremely moody about something.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about that a little later.
Okay.
Okay. You all ready to bless?
Yes.
Yeah.
Child of wonder, child of flame, nourish our spirits and protect our aim. Okay. So we've now got our third form, seeking power, I greet you. So, Agnes, what did you notice with that?
I could say the week was very eventful. The first time I didn't really realize it until I went back and tried to look back and see what happened. It was wonderful. I had a lot of revelations, not really in terms of friends or something of that nature, but from somebody really revealed some attitude which had been hidden. I realized a lot of, benefits also at work, which I previously kind of ignored. And I saw a lot of difference. I saw kind of had an insight in the way of handling the assignment, the class assignment we have.
Right.
Which I really never looked at it that way before. But I have the power to see people who I've been wishing to see for some years. At the point I was like seeing them almost every other day, and I said, this is just a coincidence. So at the point I said, this must not be kind of coincidence.
So it really seemed to increase your attractive ability, your ability to attract.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. That's very good observation. And I'm really glad you were surprised by it. That you didn't, you know, it's really nice when we don't mentally kind of know what to expect. And then it happens. I like that a lot. So, Helen, what kind of things did you notice?
There was also an element of surprise. It happened more towards the end of the week. And I started getting a lot more clarity about where there is and isn't power in my life.
Give us a, I mean, don't share anything that's too personal, but it would be really cool to know what some of those observations are.
Well, for instance, in my work, there were specifically areas where I had a very clear sense of where my power is. And I was kind of equating power with strength. And then the flip side came of the situations where it feels like my power is leaking. And so I would just sort of pay attention to the leakage.
Okay. Where would you say your power leaks?
Mentally.
Okay. In terms of losing focus?
No, more questions sometimes of well, yes, a little bit like focus, I suppose, but also there might be places where there's too much willpower rather than letting things unfold more naturally.
Okay. So you would call that mental in terms of the mental aspect of fire, so to speak?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Good, but not mental in terms of air.
No, not thinking.
Right. Because some people find that they lose power or force, if you want to call it that, which is definitely not strength, but but it can affect one's strength also, or one's stability, if you want to call it that, by where their thoughts go.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if you're seeing it in terms of what you call use of will or willpower, that's really good, because it's not the thing we can't accomplish things that way. However, when you go out and you say, seeking power, I greet you, that's an invitation to find alternate sources of power.
Yeah.
And therefore, less is required of you. That's part of the great secret that we're trying to unravel.
Yeah.
Cool. Jennifer, how about you?
I noticed the downward bone kind of a straightening effect on my shoulder area.
Okay.
And I noticed that the traction thing too, I didn't put it together. There was some of that.
That you would attract things that would be more difficult to normally?
Yeah, and that it was easier if people weren't so conflicting and that.
Yeah, I think that again is the whole point of this. What we all want to do is learn how to have life without so much struggle.
That was about it, I guess.
Well, you kind of indicated that fire energy is a little difficult for you because you feel you've got a lot of that to deal with already. However, you didn't, I mean, did seeking power add to that fire energy in any way that was difficult for you?
I think it forced a harder rage. There was a kind of a dawning at midweek on a real person. Started in control for it. Like out of control, and then I shifted to where it was maybe the vision and things toned down.
Okay. Okay, so it still seemed to you that it was within your control if you exercised it.
Say that again.
Well, in other words, we often think that stress is something that happens to us.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you began to notice that it is not so much a factor of the external world, but something that we actually create within us.
Oh,
definitely. Yeah, cool. Because see, most of the world thinks that stress is an external factor, not within us. Therefore, we have no choice about it. So that's really good. If you discovered and saw that, that's really good. Tom, how about you? I mean, you've been through the mill.
Yeah, well, I guess I wanted to, in a way, buy into that idea that stress is external, because it doesn't seem like what's happening to me, I'm creating. But yeah, I think the point maybe is not so much what happens, it's how you react to it.
Well, yes. Yes. And you see, again, as long as you have beliefs in you that are society's scripts that tell you that these events are stressful in your life, the demands that other people put upon you are stressful, then what will happen is you will create stress in you to match that, irregardless of whether it is required or not. And since you're a painter, and you know that when you paint a car, your hand must flow very evenly,
right,
to move the gun and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there has to be high coordination between your eye, your hand, your eyes, your seeing, your hand, and the release of the trigger and the pulling of the trigger and so forth.
Right.
And none of that stress is not useful for any of those movements.
Correct, yeah.
And you can't paint any faster than you can get a good, even flow of paint on the car.
Right.
You see, so you look at that, and then you look at how we react inside. And it's just because we know we've got so much to do, and we can't possibly do it, and all of that. See, all of that is mental assignment of significance.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so once we've gotten to a certain level of understanding, we can actually stop all of that. I'm not saying it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're learning to do in terms of balancing our energies, reducing the fire energies that are reactive or cause us to react in ways that we do not want to, is part of the process of seeking power, you see.
Sure, yeah.
So go ahead, and I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, that's okay. I did just notice a few things. I mean, I had one of those aha moments, I guess, you know, when I, during the exit ritual, when I really could sense that I was getting it, I guess, you know, the way I put it, you know, it's almost a physical sensation, but it's kind of both physical and mental. Just a realization, maybe, that, you know, there's a connection there. I also felt like I was experiencing the awareness of identifying power leakages. Primarily, I think, in my situation, it was more verbally released, because there were several times that some of my coworkers and I entered into, you know, kind of grumbling matches, and realizing that that's a really a real source of losing, you know, power. A lot of fire energy around me, just the whole overall spectrum of what I do, and all the heat involved, the physical heat. And I think that does kind of, you know, affect me on other levels, even mental and possibly spiritual as well.
Of course it does. And you mentioned something really good, very useful. You said that you saw that you were pulled into grumbling matches. Now, granted or given that fire is both radiative and a motivator, but also weightless, consider this. The weightless part of it makes it very difficult to know it's going to happen. You can't see it.
Sure.
It doesn't have form. I mean, we can be aware, but your awareness has to be kind of there to meet it. You know,
isn't it kind of like your what you say is maybe fire, but it turns into air, thoughts in someone else's head, and that motivates them to do something?
Well, it radiates in and motivates, but it's not mutable, so it doesn't actually. Now, this is very valuable to know this. It doesn't actually turn into thoughts in them. It motivates thoughts in them.
Okay.
You see the difference?
Yeah.
See, okay. If my anger hits you, if fire were mutable, you would not be able to prevent that which you are speaking of. My anger turning into your thoughts, okay?
Right.
But because fire is non-mutable, my anger never, never can turn into your thoughts. But what it does do is motivate your thoughts. Now, do you have control over that?
Sure.
Air is an inflator, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so you can apply your wish or your will to your thoughts and prevent that, but you have to take certain steps.
Okay.
So this is very valuable, because to see this and break it down in this way, but because of the radiative nature of fire and the fact that our society tells us you have a right to express your anger. Isn't that what society tells you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you feel incoming vibrations which are lacking in harmony, disharmonious, from the outside. That's all they are, though. But it triggers something in you. You've been having a tough time or whatever, so what do? You express your inhaled anger or frustration or fire energy, which is all it is. You're now expressing your fire energy. Okay, what do you lose because of that? You lose force. You no longer have that fire energy. Now, granted, the form it was in was not very useful. However, did you ever notice every time you get angry how tired you are afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there is a loss of force. There's a loss of fire energy. So we can transform or change the bands of our fire energy at will if we think to or remember to and know how and prevent this loss of force. So when you go out and say seeking power, you are inviting all this knowledge to come into you. And that's kind of what you shared with us. Those were some of your realizations. Very good. I only restated them so everybody was clear as to what you were discovering.
Great.
Good, Sharon.
Wow. Well, seeking power for me this week was very enjoyable.
Sort of like ice cream on cake, huh?
Yes, it was very enlightening. we had many stressful situations this week that I did not allow to affect me. And also, it gave me, I had a I had more power to not let them affect me. These, you know, drains of my energy and things like this, and this far power coming from other people. And then I also, because when I go out, I'm seeking power from the winds of the elements to have a better understanding of what's going on. And I found that this week I did have a better understanding. I had more control over my fire energies, getting back to what some of the other people were. You know, I could have played into that fire energy, but instead I chose to stay away from it and just kind of let it play itself out and see what would happen.
That's tremendous. So what did happen?
Oh, well, we had a couple of situations this week that rather than me jumping into it and trying to use, I hate to use this word, because of the position that I'm in of being a manager, that I didn't allow myself to take advantage of that. As a matter of fact, I kind of took a step back and looked at what was going on, and I could see what was going on without having that mental drain upon myself.
Now that's being a manager.
Managing myself.
And you were managing everybody else by not intervening.
Right. So it was very interesting. It was very enlightening. And I found I was very happy this week, even though there was a lot of negative things going on. And remember, a couple of weeks ago, I told you I thought I had an enemy.
Yeah, right.
This enemy showed himself.
I told you he would.
Oh, yes. And no, it was quite a performance, too. And I won't go into any great detail on that. But it was very enlightening, and I was rather shocked at who it was, actually. And it was somebody I would never have thought of.
That's generally the case, or that,
yes.
That can be the case. It isn't, you know, later on it'll become even perhaps more clear whose potential. But did you just sort of sit back and watch?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes,
so don't play your hand. Don't even let them know you know.
Yeah. So it's been a great week. I enjoyed seeking power. And I guess that's about all I have to say on it right now.
Yes, you said funny. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. So see, the whole point is we're wanting to have our lives be less out of control and more in our control. This is how we're learning to do it. By not controlling the outer world. Because you don't have to. You're going to find out a lot more about this. And even this coming week, when we do In Beauty, and you'd think, your mind will tell you In Beauty has nothing to do with power or fire. But that is quite incorrect, because beauty, in terms of the beauty way, also known as the blessing way, is the true force, like in Star Wars when they talk about the force, it is the true energy which brings harmony and resolution throughout the universe. So keep that in mind as you do it. We're not talking about being pretty. There's nothing to do with in beauty. But when you are in beauty, you create a force which is equally outgoing and ingoing. So just discover what that is and how that feels and how you can use it and what gift it brings to you. So any questions or comments on the exit rituals? Anybody? Okay. So, fire, working with fire. Magnus, what did you discover when you started doing the recognition exercises? What were some of your objects that you looked for as characteristics?
Move away from the former way I used to do it, try to study person. I mean, it was every month. But this time, I have to use television because I read the song and because the day was when we started, that if we cannot do it in the moment, you know, watching on TV and study.
Well, that, I mean, as long as you can see it, it doesn't matter. That's fine.
Yes. So I did something that has to do with fundraising activity, and I had to concentrate on the host. Characteristics, his presence, and the host that, well, number one, he's not beautiful, since he can't change it. Water, he was moving around so much, and as such had a lot of moving force in the animals.
Okay, so now this was the host of the fundraising?
Yes, sir.
Right. So, and keep your focus on his intention in that, which is what you're doing. But you see, what's interesting what you shared about non-mutable, it would even be more accurate to say that he was not swayed from his intention, because that also is non-mutable.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I see what you're saying.
So it's more than just he as a physical being is non-mutable, and I could have misled you all a little bit with that, because if it's just the physical body, that's all, because Earth is also non-mutable.
Sure.
You know, it may not actually be a fire characteristic, but if you're talking about anybody's will or force or any form of energy that is non-mutable, that is definitely fire non-mutable. Do you see what I'm saying here? But if you said, okay, a big block of concrete is non-mutable, that's non-mutable earth, that's not non-mutable fire. Does that make sense? Okay, go ahead. Go, you're doing great. Go ahead.
Okay, he has so much more to especially when I look at the size, you know, people moving around fast all the time. He did possess a lot of people, but Christians he had, and the rest of the people were calling him Catholic in any form.
So what characteristics of that?
He was a motivator.
I'm sorry?
He motivated that by...
Oh, motivator, right, exactly.
By letting them know
exactly
what the fundraising is for, asking them questions.
Exactly.
And people responded by, you know, doing their best, you know.
Right. And wasn't that also radiative that you're describing?
It is. I'm coming because I cannot prove that by stations. I'm coming to that.
Okay, go ahead.
Where I kind of made it clear in my own way. He's very radiative. And, the physical is the aspect of him, like his red mustache, goatee, and red shirt, kind of, you know, pulls him. I mean, you can see him in the big crowd, because this was something like it was not in a bus. you more than we are despised by that he was speaking. It's not all the time you see his mind. And he was really spreading the intent, the fundraising intent for what they can achieve by having the sufficient funds needed for the cause.
Okay.
He made it, I mean, it was really radiating to the people, the audience, both those there and those at home.
Right. How about weightless, Magnus?
I should say it's not weightless in terms of his size, physical size, but also a lot of the things he was, his cause, what he was trying to convince people to do, has a lot of weight.
The cause does, but the way he's doing it does not. See, this is what's so cool. his real capability is his radiative and motivator. Even perhaps his appearance. But you see, appearance in of itself is a light phenomena, an energy phenomena, and it's weightless. Although his form has weight. Do you see what I'm getting at? Because you can't pick up and carry around or put in a box the way he does what he does. His method. You know when they talk of actors, method actors? What the way that they do something is weightless because it's non-physical. It has no physical form whatsoever, even though they themselves have physical form. That's why I said focus on his intent. Am I confusing you?
No, sure enough. I believe his intent, I was talking about when I said, you know, his cause.
You were. And I agree with you that his cause has gravity, but a cause may not have actual physical weight. It has meaning, but that's not weight. The cause itself. You know, I think you did really well. That's not an easy one you picked. So cool. Helen, what did you do with that?
Let's see. One of them I did was an air conditioner.
Okay.
So I had a non-mutable because it's solid.
Now, are you focusing on the air conditioner or what it does?
I guess, in retrospect, a little bit of both.
Okay, so...
But it does change heat to cool. I mean, in terms
that
of...
It does, and that's more what it does.
Right.
So, see, it's really good to start getting this specific about things because... Do you see that if you just did the air conditioner sitting there as an innate object,
right,
it may not have the same characteristics of fire that it does in terms of what it is able to do.
Right. Yeah, so I got kind of both coming from it. I tended to look at it as a physical object and what it did.
Okay, fine.
So,
but you said it in of itself is non-mutable, but
right.
But what it does
is mutable.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. So power. I put, you know, and its parts move. It moves air. It shakes and vibrates.
Okay, that's correct.
Right. Okay, motivator. I had yes, because of its, and this was its impact on me. The cooler air allows me to move more. I have to get up to move it, to turn it on and off. It motivates me in terms of, I think less about the heat, and I become more active.
Yeah, I would agree.
Radiative, I had to some degree because of its noise and its vibrations. And then, of course, the air moves, that it impacts, and that radiates out, spreads throughout my house.
And, you see, the effect of what it does radiates to you.
Right.
Or else you would not have had that motivative realization.
Yeah. It has weight in terms of its physical form, but in terms of some of the impact it has, that's weightless.
Right.
And for masculine, it has very obvious characteristics physically. It's loud, it's active, it's large.
And it's a veritable dragon in reverse.
Right, that's right. And
it eats fire.
Uh-huh. Yes. I like that. and it causes things to flow, air to flow outward.
And also heat too. It just gets rid of the heat out the other end.
Right.
Yeah, it's a heat exchanger, you see.
Okay.
Right on. Very good. Jennifer.
I did them. I have a dog named April. She's a Great Pyrenees, and she's over a year old. I did her.
Okay.
So we have to get along really well. It's not beautiful. But she's strong and stubborn.
Okay. So, in other words, in that respect, non-mutable even by attitude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'll go with that.
I tell her to come and she won't.
Oh, yes, yes. Very good non-mutable, yes.
Okay, power, she has, she vibrates with life. She's real lively, and she desires you to pet her. She's so timid-like. And then trying to get you to pet her.
Now, that desire energy, that's not power, of course. What would you say that would be characteristic-wise?
Care?
No, I didn't say it was different elements.
So the desire motivator?
Yes, certainly. Doesn't her desire motivate you to do what she wants?
Yes, but she comes over and forces her head under your hand.
Right. So, but still, it's that desire and then her actions that go with it. So, the movement could be power, and then her kind of desire energy is motivator and radiative, because you notice it. So, it's all three, really.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Well, it's fire energy.
She
seems to think I like it when
she barks.
So
she runs out and barks a lot.
Okay.
The fire in me, I guess.
But
that's also radiative and motivator. She's pure white with dark brown eyes. Kind of loving looking. Which is nice to touch. There's a energy that radiates out from her that's not elsewhere. She's weightless, she's really dense as a dog, but she's got speed and grace, and she can run like the wind.
But still there's weight there in terms of the physical, but certainly her pushiness, you know, the way she kind of motivates you or challenges you, you could say Her intentions are weightless. Because they don't actually have weight, but she can push you around even without her weight.
Yeah, that's true. She's got a masculine side and she's standing her ground. It's almost like we're...
Okay, now that's feminine.
Standing her ground?
Yeah. That's the element, that's the characteristic strength in Earth, or solid. Or massive.
Okay.
But everything else you've described about her is masculine. Anything that is higher fire energy is masculine. At least it's got a lot of masculine characteristics by virtue of those.
Okay.
That's good. Did very good. Tom.
Well, one of the things that I did was I observed a poppy plant just during the start of a storm outside. It's probably non-mutable. I think the plant itself is non-mutable. It can only be a poppy plant, but I think in the long run it might be in the sense that it turns itself or reseeds itself.
Oh,
it restarts the life cycle, which might be a form of mutability.
It certainly would seem so. So it's sort of non-mutable in one time frame and then becomes mutable later.
right. Kind of like in the present tense, I mean, it's definitely not non-mutable.
Yeah, cool.
As far as power, I mean, it has, you know, within it its own life force. I mean, that was pretty much a form of power, but also in this case, the wind was giving the plant kinetic energy.
Okay, but now life force, unless it has movement that is discernible, would have to be considered either radiative or motivator, but not power.
Okay.
Now, you can make an argument from that if you want to. And I would agree. If you were to turn around and say, now, wait a minute. It takes in sunlight and then moves fluids through it physically, either up and down its stalk or whatever, out even maybe through its stamens or whatever and so forth. And that's part of its, say, life force power. Then I would. Okay, you got it?
Yeah, you were kind of breaking up on me for that last little part, but I think I understood the mainstay of what you're trying to say there.
Okay.
As far as motivator, it motivates, you know, it kind of motivates me to smile and wonder, you know, when I look at it, because it's just. It's a really pretty plant. Actually, at that time, the speed of its movement was kind of motivating me to go inside the house because it was getting really windy out.
Okay.
Radiative, it radiates what you call the color matrix energy. It has really three predominant colors, kind of a seafoam green and then sun yellow, and inside of the flower, it's more yellow-orange. So it definitely radiates the color energy. Also, I think it radiates oxygen.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it radiates something else. Do you know what?
No, I don't.
Okay. What would you say attracts bees to it?
Oh, pollen.
Yeah, well, or... scent.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, and that's part of the whole process of that flowers do is they radiate pheromones or scent, and that attracts insects and bees and, you know,
mm-hmm.
so forth and so on, as well as us.
Right.
Right?
That's a very important one, too, obviously.
Yeah.
As far as weightless, it's not weightless, but even though it has pollen that's very, very light, that still isn't completely weightless, so that doesn't apply, that fire characteristic doesn't really apply to it. As far as masculine, the only ways I observed it to be masculine was that it kind of boldly, you know, captures my attention. I mean, at least when it's in bloom.
Yeah, it makes a very strong statement, doesn't it?
Right. Also, I think that it also contains within it, you know, powerful medicinal type properties, which also kind of strike me as masculine, maybe.
They're activating. That's a good point. Very good. As far as the weightless factor, you could say that the flower itself obviously is not weightless.
Its scent
is weightless. Its attraction ability, its energy matrix is weightless. So
right. The
things that you can identify there that are weightless. So, like, we're kind of cutting this. We're slicing things pretty thin now, which is good. We're beginning to differentiate, not just sort of look at something as a big blob or something.
Yeah.
We're considering not only what is it, but what does it do, and so forth. That's really cool. That's what magicians do.
Sure.
Were you not finished?
No, I was done. I thought that was really cool how you just said that, because you just really made... You know, itself is not weightless, but what it actually does is, in a sense, weightless and radiative at the same time, possibly.
Yeah. And so, as we begin to look at situations, this is why I've said what Magnus was repeating. When I say do things in present time, that's what I'm talking about, because if you just did the idea of a flower, you could miss a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you just did the idea of anything, you could miss a great deal. But when you're, like what Magnus did, he was looking at a specific guy. That guy might be totally different when he's at home with his family. But when he was out as a fundraiser, he was using himself, and obviously in a particular persona or archetype that's very different and very demonstrative. And so that's the value of doing something in that moment, because what you're gathering, the data you're gathering, is pertinent to that moment. Cool.
Okay. Well, I did one on an ink pen, a cup of coffee, and then on a gentleman. So I think I'll talk about Charlie.
Okay.
Charlie is now the ex-EMS director. And the reason I picked him is because he is the person I was speaking of earlier.
Okay.
And on non-mutable, I put he is very set in his ideas, even if they're not proper ideas, by attitude. However, you know, as a person, you know, you can't change into a cat or something like that. For power...
And by the way, Sharon, even though you were right that he is non-mutable in his position, I have a hunch, given the things I've seen you do, that you will probably mutable him.
Yes, that's what happened.
He mutated his non-mutability.
Yes. On power, he thought he was somewhat a powerful person.
Okay, now let's remember, that's not actually the definition of power.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
Okay.
But his perception of power is what I was looking at. Is that okay?
It's okay. As long as you define it as such.
Okay.
You know, and even if he's a big bag of wind, he still doesn't have power.
Right, and that's exactly what he was. Okay. As far as motivator, the, he actually motivated us to take an action.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
So, and then in radiative, he radiated anger, ulterior motives, which became clear to everyone.
Good. Good that you see that. And good that you're pointing that out to all of us, because you see, if radiative and motivator almost always exist together, do you see how this can give us clues to what someone's motivations are?
Mm-hmm. What's the anger in him?
How would you visit? I don't know. How does it feel?
Magnus, are you asking questions?
Right, man.
Oh, you're talking to somebody else. Okay. Magnus, do you know that you can mute by pushing *6 anytime you're talking to somebody else so we don't hear it too?
I'm sorry. I tried to, I put it on mute and tried to keep up. I took another phone and we kind of messed up a little bit.
Oh. Well, do you know what I mean by *6? If you hit *6 on your keypad, it will mute your phone so we hear nothing. But then you have to hit *6 again to be able to talk, because otherwise we won't hear you.
I'm sorry. Like I said, I didn't remember to do that.
Okay.
But the next one, I was just there, put it on mute. Then, for some reason, picked up another phone so that I don't lose track of the discussion.
Right.
I forgot that I didn't give you those. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We're just letting you know. No problem. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, on waitlist, even though he himself is not waitlist, his meaning and what he was trying to do didn't bear much weight.
Okay, okay.
And as far as masculine,
now don't confuse weight and effect.
Oh.
Because
right, we were affected to do something.
Well, no, but I mean, let me see. How can I say this? Weight and weightless. Okay. We're not measuring the effect that someone creates there.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
That would still be motivator.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, I understand.
Right. But weight can, anything physical obviously has weight. Anything non-physical tends not to have weight, such as any electricity, lightning, thoughts, ideas, plans, so forth and so on, from a normal perspective anyway, and even from a magical perspective. So don't get caught in the trap that language provides us, which is only the improper use of it, to say weighty ideas. Those are motivated ideas. They're not actually 3 pounds rather than 2 pounds.
Because that's what I did. See, I went with, I kind of got sidetracked here, I guess. I thought, even though he himself is not weightless, I mean, he does weigh something.
Sure.
But his ideas, and would that be the as above, so below? You know, his ideas didn't carry any weight.
Well, then they were not, then his ideas were not motivators.
Oh, well, they were motivated.
No, his ideas were not motivators in terms of what he wanted to do with his ideas. However, his ideas and his attitudes were motivators for you guys, if you want to be totally accurate.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Right.
Okay. It was very masculine. You couldn't ignore it. You were very aware, you know, how he was coming on and things like that. And his appearance is a masculine appearance.
Good. That's good. You did good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So then, okay, with this exercise, the third recognition, Magnus, what would be an example of that?
third one? Where am I third?
That's the one where you take a characteristic and look for an example of it. Yeah.
Okay, I think
okay, go ahead. Can you speak a little louder? It's kind of hard to hear you.
I'm sorry. On the physical situation, do you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I said how I've been able to move around.
Okay.
Whether with the characteristics might be constructive in the physical situation, I look at it from this point of view, getting things done in happy manner.
Okay.
Destructive aspect, I just falling down.
Okay, that works.
And spiritual situations, I use love, hate, and anger.
Okay.
The constructive aspect is establishing love and good communities and having one another. Then destructive aspect, I said that using one's position to cause hatred and pain and bad feeling.
Come, very good. Thank you. Alan?
Okay, I'm going to do the one I had the most trouble with.
Oh, good.
and I think I might have done this all wrong now having had class on it, but okay, so characteristic was weightless.
Okay.
A physical situation, I put someone who's overweight, so they take a diet pill.
Okay. Now, yeah, because see, what are you actually focusing on there? You might be okay. I just want to make
sure. Okay, I was focusing sort of on the diet pill containing, in terms of measurable, just a small amount of a substance that that can actually, well, I was focusing on the weight of the diet pill.
But it has weight.
But it has weight, yeah.
Okay, how about if you took instead what he wanted?
Okay, yeah, because I sort of ended up there when I got into the mental. But okay, but yeah, that's good. Okay.
So he wants to lose weight.
Right.
Okay. So you could say, that's the weightless. His desire is weightless. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, weightless is a hard one to do, but go ahead, you're doing good.
Okay. So, this is all based now on this silly diet pill, but...
Well, just turn it around.
Don't
even worry about that. So what would then be...
So the positiveness of the desire is that he could... lose weight.
Right.
Okay, the negative is, I guess, he could lose too much weight and harm himself physically.
I think it would be better because in that you've lost, you're not really talking about weightless anymore.
Okay, the desire.
But you could, see, the first part was good. The first part you did was fine. But then the harmful would be that because it's weightless, he loses track of his desire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because we've all seen that happen. You make an aim, a New Year's resolution.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a concept, an idea.
Oh, this is great.
For actual form, we forget it. We can't remember what it was.
Uh-huh, yeah. I know that one.
Yeah, so that'll work. I wouldn't even try to boost that one up because it already is in the sort of mental spiritual realm.
Okay. See, mental or spiritual,
That's what I'm saying. It's already there.
Right.
So you don't need to try to find another example of it because that's where you started.
Okay. Okay, got it.
That's a little hard.
What if you put something like worry? I mean, he has a desire, but he turns the desire into worry or obsession. Can you make that?
Okay. Yeah, you can. And so, you know, we would say, well, fire can't turn into air. So then, fire can't actually, being fire energy, can't turn into worry, but it can turn into anxiety, and it can motivate worry.
Okay.
You know, so it can go up and down in the fire bands. Okay?
Okay.
You see, this, now what this clarifies, why this is so valuable, how many do people say, you made me angry?
Yeah.
Okay? You made me sick. You made me worry. Your actions of fire, made me worry. Magically, we know that's impossible.
Right.
Okay. So remember, the premise of this course is that if you understand the elements by virtue of the characteristics and the correspondences and how the elements interact, you will understand anything in this universe you want to. Okay, now, we have just decoded a commonly held social mystery or error. It says somebody else can make you worry, somebody else can make you think, somebody else can make you angry, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's behavior, actions, or fire energies of any kind make you do any air thing. But then you must supply the fire to do your air. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So that lets us right off the hook, because if we're going to talk about personal power, speaking power, then we have to begin to be accurate about the fact that you either use your power or you don't. Nobody else is doing anything to you. Okay, go ahead. You're doing great.
Okay, let's see. So ways in which it can be constructive is that could increase willpower to eat better.
Yeah.
And destructive, what I have is not correct. I put become obsessed about food, but that would be air, right?
Oh, no, I would say loss of self-esteem.
Okay, yeah.
Right on.
Right.
Cool.
Okay.
Jennifer.
I did motivator.
Good.
Someone smoking.
Okay.
It might be constructive.
Now, how is someone smoking a motivator?
There's two types of smokers, I think I've observed. Those ones that live to smoke and those who casually smoke.
So are you saying that here the smoking motivates them? Okay, got it. Go ahead.
That's a driver in their life.
Okay, good. I got it.
Okay. And to them, it's a fun activity, and they can sit down and socialize.
Okay, got it.
A is plan to smoke. And the destructive way is it'll ruin your innards and magnify other elements.
Okay, now, you want to stay consistent here. So if you're going to say, okay, smoking as a motivator for the person, and then you say constructive is it kind of gives them a greater sense of well-being, whatever you said is fine. But destructive, you're going to have to say in that same mode. You can't jump to the physical body.
Well, then it runs their day.
Yeah, that works. Do you see how that is?
Yeah.
Because you're staying consistent with what you set up, your premise. Good. That works.
Then I carried on the smoke aspect in mental spiritual.
Okay.
The spiritual part is the self playing in it.
Say that again. The spiritual is.
I don't know. The self. We feel twirling the smoke.
Well, the self. Oh, okay. Now you're playing with the smoke, but you want to stay consistent, if you can, with how is that a motivator for the person, okay? So the way you could do that, kind of like what Helen did, you could talk about the person's will. So because it's a motivator, it obviously affects their will, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and will is in the mental spiritual side of things. So you could say constructive there, that it gives him a sense of of will, yeah, of being capable of, you know, doing what he sets out to do. But the destructive would be will. It's a little tricky.
Addiction of it?
It's a false will. In other words, it's not real will because it depends completely on having the cigarettes available.
Are you saying, Alan, that the power is outside of the person in the object?
Well, we weren't doing power, we were doing motivator.
Okay.
But we're saying that motivator in that regard, as an instrument for will, is useful only as far as you've got the substance available.
Okay.
Because, see, when a smoker, say, you put a smoker in a situation where, say, upside folks, no cigarette smoking allowed. I'll tell you a situation. He uses those cigarettes to motivate himself. He's a writer, and he uses that to motivate himself, and he writes plays, and he does really well, okay? And it spurs his will so he can write. He doesn't have writer's block, no problem. Now put him on an 8-hour plane, and he was going to take his computer and write a play. Boy, how good do you think he's going to be? No smoking allowed.
What he thought he was getting off of
them. It's only dependent upon him having no cigarettes. Right. It's not true will. It's not a true motivator either. But you all pick really picky ones, but that was good. That was good. No problem. Tom.
I don't know if I'm getting it still, but I think I'm seeing it. So let me go ahead and ask you, is the physical situation and the mental and spiritual situation, are they different?
They can be, but sometimes in fire they're not.
Okay, well, let me just go ahead and go over one that I did.
Sure.
The characteristic I chose was radiative.
Okay.
And the physical situation I chose was typing a letter on my computer. The ways that I found that to be constructive.
Now, how is that radiative? So we all know.
Well, I guess I'm thinking about it in terms of what it does. See, that's maybe the problem that I'm having, because when we all through this class, we're talking about the objects, and you're separating these two issues, the object itself and then what the object does or potentially does.
Yeah, but that's okay. But just explain to us how writing a letter on the computer is radiative.
Yeah. Okay, I think that the way that I see that, which might be a little bit of a squeeze, but I don't think so, you're radiating of communication or words or your words or ideas that, you know, our thoughts, and that radiates your ideas. So the way that I think that it was...
Like when you send it, you mean?
Well, yeah, you know, I guess it's all relative in the sense that, you know, while you are writing the letter, you're only communicating your own thoughts to yourself.
Right, exactly.
You know, and then when you go ahead and send it, you know, it has the potential when they receive it, you know, so it's based upon,
Okay, that's fine. So you could go two ways with this, because that actually... is not dependent then upon writing a letter on the computer. It could be a handwritten letter or whatever, right?
Sure, right.
Okay. But if you said, I'm going to write a note to a chat group, do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
More highly rated just because you're affecting a greater number of people.
Sure, yeah. It's kind of bumping it up a level or a notch, I suppose.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We'll accept your premise.
Okay. So I feel that it's radiative and constructive in the sense that it can radiate, spread, or create uplifting, informative, or maybe thought-provoking dialogue.
Correct.
The way that I see that this characteristic might be destructive is that, conversely, it could send a deceptive or hurtful message.
It could. Yes, it could. I would say you would be perhaps a little more accurate if you said it could be misinterpreted.
Okay.
Only because if your premise is...
I'm writing two letters here, aren't I?
Well, you're writing a letter on a computer and you're sending it to someone. Okay. And the constructive is they get this information. The destructive is they don't understand or misinterpret the information. Why do I say that? Because the keynote is here that you're not talking to them, therefore you can't straighten out the misconception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that way it works really neatly both ways.
Okay. Well, those things seem to be subject to the, you know, maybe skills of writing, whatever. It doesn't matter,
but at least it kind of holds to the premise of writing it on the computer versus talking to the person or, you know. Now, that doesn't mean that if you wrote it on a typewriter, it would be different. It's still the same, but
right. But
if you said...
You're basically saying that I jumped ship again there on that. I'm talking about one letter, then I'm talking about possibly another letter that would be...
Or you just shifted slightly.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just pulling you guys down because you all are picking such interesting things to talk about. I'm just trying to keep it as precise as I can.
Sure. I guess I'm trying to think of the mental or spiritual situation that the physical situation in typing a letter, the mental... I guess that would probably be something like praying.
Oh, that's like a good one. I like it.
Okay. And the way that I see that could be constructed is that it helps to establish a connection to the divine. It helps to maybe create and nourish a sense of trust.
And the destructive?
The destructive would be that prayers could trigger unexpected life changes that actually must occur to fulfill your prayer request.
Oh, you're very clever. That's good. Thank you. Sarah?
Okay, I'll be weightless here.
Okay.
The physical situation is a feather. Characteristics constructive to the physical situation. It's light, it's hollow, and it's filled with air.
Okay, the feather is not weightless.
I said it's light, hollow, it is not weightless.
It's lightweight.
Yeah, it's lightweight.
Yeah, which is an air characteristic. So,
yeah, and
I'll bear you right. You like this.
Yeah, I did. I went back to air here.
Oh, that's right. I'll bear you right.
Okay. And then I went to...
Wait a minute. You're not letting me bear you right.
Okay.
Okay, instead of taking a feather, take a memory of a feather.
Okay.
See, now you're weightless.
Yes. And it is actually from the feather from the week before. Memory of the feather. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. And it's light, it's hollow filled. It's light, it's hollow, and it's...
Change now, because you're not dealing with the feather, you're dealing with the memory of the feather.
Oh, now I'm all messed. Gosh.
Oh, it's easy. What's constructive about the memory of the feather?
What's constructive about it? Oh, dear. Constructive about the memory of the feather. help?
Is you feel good?
Hello?
Yeah, it makes you feel happy.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so that's constructive. What's destructive?
Pardon me? See, I'm all messed up on this one. Because, see, I had it easy to break. But once again, we're back to the memory of the feather.
Right. So what would be destructive about any memory?
Well, it could influence you.
Yes, and it may not be accurate.
Right.
It could deceive you.
Uh-huh.
So this is good. You guys, everything we do is not about getting the right answer. It's about how we understand how to play these games. So don't you guys ever get discouraged when we tear it apart, what you presented. Because the tearing apart is what we call cutting and fitting. That's how you learn how to do this stuff. So that's just fine, Sarah.
Okay, and then in the middle, or spiritual, I had airy thoughts.
Good, okay.
And then a characteristic which might be constructive is that these airy thoughts, and then again, I'm getting back to air here, that, you know, the thoughts flow easily. And then as for destructive, I put I would be daydreaming instead of working.
Okay, that works. You are not required to stay in fire when you are...
That was my next question, yes.
No. You understand. Okay. You start with...
If somebody's on a cell phone or somebody is three-wayed in,
okay.
They need to star six. That's what's causing them.
Okay. I want, just for a moment while I'm explaining this, everybody star six, just so we can experiment and see if that works. Everybody star six.
Oh, sure.
Everybody star six. Okay. Thank you. Now, don't forget, when we're done this little, my talking, you've got to restart six when you want to talk. Okay. So, now we don't have any of that fuff interference, which is good, what we're after. So what would help a lot from now on, if you guys can handle it, is either use your mute button on your phone or star six, and most of our other students have learned to do this through time, star six when you're not sharing and star six again when you want to share. And it'll make the call so much cleaner for everybody and for the recording. So anyway, let me see if I can... What we were talking about here is... Okay, so you picked weightless, which is a fire characteristic, and that's fine. And you're talking about your memory of something. Even though the memory could have air characteristics also, we said we live in a four-element universe. So that's not a problem. But there's no question that that memory of a feather is weightless. So that is a fire characteristic. And it's not an earth characteristic because we're not talking about... Well, that would be a non-mutable anyway. Don't worry about that. Okay, so... Because weightless, the only element it occurs in is fire. Okay, so anytime you find weightless, it's got to be fire. fire characteristic. Now, when you say, okay, it's positive, the memory, now you're talking about the memory, and you can describe it in terms of air things, or you can describe the analog, the analog to it, we say. Okay, so the memory of the feather is like the mental fire, emotional, I mean the mental spiritual level of fire. You can say it's like a idea, an idea of something. Okay, well, yeah, that's still weightless. You're still talking about a fire thing. That's fine. Even though then you start talking about its air properties, so what? You have not gone off track at all. So Sharon, is that, do you understand what I'm saying? Don't forget, you have to stay safe.
Yes.
Okay, good. So that was, and that was great, you guys. There was no interference, no background noise. That makes it so much better. Okay, so... Any questions that you all had with doing fireboxes? I suspect that someone may have forgotten and snorted a firebox, and probably you figured out how to take care of it, or if you didn't and you need to ask, fine. But I think every class we have, at least somebody does that and gets over it. So
I'll be your example.
Oh, you're so brave. I wasn't gonna call on. I wasn't gonna tell on you. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Like I said last week, we got in like 2 hours before we've been to Lake Powell. It's hot and everything, and you're tired and you're run down and that. So I didn't correlate it until Friday. Anyway, I thought, well, I'll get after this homework right away. So I started in a box of sunlight, yellow. And I kept having like a sinus infection, green stuff in my nose, burning and uncomfortable. But I excused it till Friday. And then it dropped on me like a rock. I'd gotten that stuff in my nose. And it did burn and it was uncomfortable and it really mimicked what I always call the sinus problem and that kind of thing. And I called Stephanie and Alan. I thought, well, I better do something quick. And I got the answering machine. So then I started in with the mutable and reactive. And I did like 5 or 6 boxes, and I started getting relief.
Mutable air.
Yes.
Yeah.
Air. Clear air.
Right.
Okay. And then I...
And getting rid of reactive and increasing mutable?
No, I increased both.
Okay.
And I got a lot of relief. And
Oh, I see why you increased reactive clear to take action on the fire.
Yeah.
Right, got it.
Yeah, just like you told last time on my, this white's giving me a headache.
Right.
You said to do that before. And I got a lot of relief. And then I, Stephanie called my confessor. And she said, well, you would, what helped with the some clear motivator boxes too, or not motivator, air direct modifier for fire?
Mediator.
Mediator, yeah. Box is a mediator clear. And that helped even more, and I think it has passed. So.
Yeah, well, that's how you handle it. Exactly so. Were there any boxes that you did that you weren't sure, you know, why they affected you or the way they did? Or, and also with that sun yellow, probably the fact that it affected you in the sinuses would indicate that you tend to drop your sun yellow down to red orange.
You know, when I first did it, it, like, went in my lungs, and it felt pretty good.
Yeah, I understand that. And if it had stayed as sun yellow, it probably would have made you very alert and very almost like, super alive, so to speak. You probably wouldn't have been able to sleep for a couple of days.
Yeah.
but it probably would not have given you an infection. But once it goes down to red orange, it's gonna.
Oh, okay.
So but when you do your fire boxes, it'll help you before you do them to take on some sun yellow non-mutable. We're going to talk about that in tonight's work anyway. And that'll help stabilize all your fireboxes so they don't play X with you. Don't be afraid of fireboxes, because if you take them on, you don't like them, get rid of them. You know, so that's for everybody's purposes. So, good to know, because you see, the more that you use fire and you use the non-mutable characteristic with it, you will start to stabilize how your body deals with fire. And I don't think your problem is that you can't deal with fire. The problem is that you don't keep your fire in the proper band long enough. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Because fire energy is what prevents people from having depression or chronic fatigue syndrome or hepatitis C or any number of other major life type problems. You know, so if we can learn to use fire energy in a way that benefits us, not in the way that hurts us, that's great advance, much an advantage.
So if you start out your fireboxes, you take on non-mutable yellow.
Sun yellow.
That will cause the others to hold dirt?
Yeah, it'll help.
Okay.
That is right. Yeah, there's a write-up in the notes about it this week. So, anybody else have any thing they want to comment about fireboxes they did?
Alan, this is Dan.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know you were with us.
Oh, yeah. I've been here.
The whole time?
Yes, sir.
Didn't you think it was funny I never called on you?
Yeah. I thought you were just ignoring me.
No. Because when I took the class list, I asked if Dan was there. I never had an answer.
Oh, I did say yes.
Oh, didn't you? Hey, Dan, I apologize.
Well, I've enjoyed it so far. I did have something that I caught myself that was kind of humorous, but I didn't know what to do. I was driving down the road, and I'd stopped at a traffic light, and was, because all week I'd been experimenting with, of course, with putting boxes on, taking boxes off, and I took off a red box of red energy, and then it all of a sudden dawned on me, what do I do with this now? Because I'm sitting in my car.
Okay, well, so what'd you do?
Well, I pushed it through the windshield.
Okay.
Just out into oblivion.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think of. What should I have done?
Okay.
Other than not doing that in the first place.
No, that's right. You were sitting at a stoplight?
Yes.
What's wrong with the stoplight as a target?
Well, my question was, I wasn't sure if it was going to go through the windshield.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
Well, but rather than shoot it into oblivion, where it might hit somebody, aim at a target. Any street light, light pole, those transformers that hang on poles.
Yeah.
Neon sign.
Okay, the only thing I knew for sure was that I didn't want it to hit anything in my car.
When we start direct handling fire, you can ground out into the ignition system, and if you can put it into the coil, or directly into the firing chambers if your car is running. Either one.
Well, cars don't have coils anymore.
They don't?
I don't think so. It's all electronic.
Well, it's electronic, but a coil is still electric. I mean, I think they still have coils. I thought. Isn't that part of what, like, what's the same as a transformer on the pole? How do you build up your energy for your plugs?
I don't know. About late 1970s, I totally lost track with what cars were doing to
their but that's fine. So if you don't want to put it into the car, which could be a little risky, just like light pole, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll go, because remember when you send an energy box, you start right through the walls of your house. I mean, a message box. Or if, say you're doing healing work and you send someone, say, clear air or powder blue air, say stable. And, you know, they're in New Jersey. Well, you throw it out of your house, right?
Yeah.
So, don't go through anything.
Okay.
Just make sure you have a target. Cool. All right, I didn't mean not to call on you, Ben. Anything you want to share about, say, seeking power?
Well, actually, I made a mistake this week and used a different word and got an entirely different result.
What did you do? What did you use?
I left out the word seeking, and I said, in power, I greet you.
Oh, okay. What kind of results did that give you?
It was like totally awesome.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah, it was like I was the transmitter instead of the receiver for a change.
Yeah. So then you saw some of the difference between seeking and being in or walking in. Sometimes we do it as walking in power. I greet you. Yeah, it is different. You're right. So let's talk a little more about fire. Give you all some other ways of handling fire energy. There's some things that you need to know first to do that, and there's some great video clips. But don't forget to, or do remember to look at those for this class, and specifically that would be Dragon's Breath, and it would be the body flows, which we're going to talk about next, and direct flowing fire, plus throwing or flowing firebolts at a candle, which is great sport. Okay, the basic principle to remember that any conductor of electricity, including our bodies, and of course our nervous systems, our neural systems, will conduct all different forms of fire. And that fire energy you can get from any source of fire energy, i.e. light, heat, electricity, don't pull from the sun, and so forth. And that anything that will act as an electrical ground, or a major electrical ground, we can use to get rid of fire. And don't put fire energy into small appliances or sensitive electronic equipment and so forth. Now, the one exception to that, interestingly enough, but understand what I'm going to tell you, you can pull fire energy from a person through the phone. You can give fire energy to a person through the phone, but you're not grounding out fire into the phone. Does that make sense to you all? Do you see the difference? You're simply flowing it through the phone to them along the wires. So when there is a source or a target that's going to receive it, it doesn't build up in the appliance. So, when you feel any radiative energy, say from a light, you can get any fire energy you want from that source. Not quite the same if you feel radiative energy that is anger. Yes, you could get red orange from that, but you could not get some yellow very easily from that. Although, the probability is that there is a leak of some yellow in that red orange from the person. But it would be harder to do that. And any blockage or resistance along a flow of fire energy causes heat and or pain or excess in the area of the blockage. Pain if it's in us or an animal or something. Okay, and it also says if you're afraid to work with fire energy or the flame bands, start with sun yellow and work down to just get used to it, which is what you're doing anyway with the boxes. And then there's that discussion we were just talking about down banding sun yellow and how you prevent that and so forth. Okay. So, and hopefully by now you have some good indicators of what these different colors of fire do, such as the chart on page, it's 109. Okay, that says some yellow, lack of enthusiasm, alertness and fatigue for shortage. Over-enthusiasm, being wide awake during normal sleeping times for excess and so forth. So, hopefully you all have gotten some pretty good indicators of that by now, or you've read enough to be somewhat familiar. Okay, dragon's breath. This is a great way to get rid of fire energy, perhaps you could say in a more subtle way. We're talking about your own fire energy, not somebody else's. It could come from somebody else to you, but it's in you now. But this works really well for toothaches, headaches, bronchitis, any excess fire in the lungs, which is most of your lung-type illnesses, other than damp in the lungs or excess water. Back, just about anything that is pain in the body or heat in the body. Tom, you could do this like you said that oftentimes at work, you're working in a very hot environment. This is the way why you're doing other things that you can do it. But in the notes it says, I'll read it. The dragon's breath is a way to use your breathing to increase or decrease your level of fire energy. This technique is based on the principle that air can sometimes does carry a certain amount of fire energy. Actually, air carries a lot of fire energy in many cases. In practicing the dragon's breath, be sure to use the same size breath each time for consistency, and do not do more than 3 breaths in a row. Now, put a note in there, because that's not exactly correct in and of itself. Okay, do not do more than 3 breaths in a row before checking to see how it's working. You can do hours of dragon's breath if need be. As many breaths as you want, but you don't want to just do it without checking in, seeing if there's a change. Because you might pass out if you get rid of too much fire too quick. But if you've got an ongoing toothache or something, I've even set up so I do dragon's breath in my sleep to get rid of the fire energy. So how you do it? Okay, you can increase your fire energy or you can decrease. You can do either way. If you're cold and you need to take on fire energy, if you're tired and need to take on fire energy, you can do it. It would be quicker to do boxes. But if it's something where you want to do it slowly over time, this is the way. Where if your hands are tied up and you can't, then this is the way to do it. So you pick the color that you want to get rid of or take on, and have the color source there so that you can see it. Now the exception to that is if it's pain, you can feel it. So you don't have to look at a color source to get rid of pain, but be aware that it's red, orange that you can breathe out. Okay, so then to increase your pharynges, take in a deep breath, hold it in your lungs, look at the color source, expand that color outward from your lung area and through your body. Now, I do it also as I breathe in. I feel and sense that the air is warmer than when I breathe out. Let us take a little focus. Okay? So you breathe in having the air be warmer than what's inside, and then you kind of pull the warmth or the heat or the fire energy out of the breath into the body. You're not like storing it in the lungs, which might overheat the lungs. You're just moving it through. If you want to, you can put your hands on either on the rib cage and sort of use that to sort of direct or pull the energy outward. And the color source just identifies which color of fire energy you're taking out of that inhale, taken in breath, so to speak. I don't generally do it with a characteristic, but if you want to, it tells you the way too. I generally do it just for the color. Because if I want to do a color and characteristic, I'd rather do a bump. And then using dragon's breath to decrease your fire energy. Decide which color, have the color source available unless you're getting rid of pain. In this case, take in the breath, make sure it comes in cooler as it comes in. Sort of let it sort of swish through your teeth so that it comes in nice and cool. Even over the tongue, you can feel it's cool. Let it go into the lungs. Then allow the color that you want to get rid of to flow into that breath held in the lungs, and then take it right out. Breathe it out. Let it be warm as it breathes out. Anybody have a question on this or a comment? Sharon?
No, Alan.
Okay. Anybody?
I have a question.
Okay, Magnus.
It's not directly, it has to do with the color. Sometimes I get color confused. I get confused picking out the color because based on my experience, I'm playing on with this man, I begin to rely on.
Didn't we send you color chips?
You did, but sometimes I get lost, which is exactly except red, white,
because they're not marked?
I'm sorry?
Because they're not marked?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Can you tell some yellow?
I have yellow.
Can you tell which one is some yellow? It's the lightest of the yellows.
Okay.
And the next one from that is yellow orange. It's just a little bit darker than the sun yellow. They go from sun yellow in darkness like this. Sun yellow, yellow orange, red orange, red.
Okay, the one that is just plain yellow is sun yellow.
Correct. Right.
Hey, cancer, you know, why I'm mentioning this is that sometimes I want to do it. I wasn't sure, and I kind of kept on taking it red because I cannot really decipher. I became colorblind.
in the sense that I got used to what they call a name, you know, use it because sometimes...
Do you have somebody else help you and write on them which color is which, if you need to? Just someone, a friend, just say which one of these is sun yellow and which is yellow orange and which is red orange and which is true red and which is deep red, if you can't tell.
Okay.
Stephanie's going to send you a set that's marked.
Okay.
Good.
I wanted to ask for more colors. This will be getting into the...
You've got all the colors that we use.
Yes, but I wanted to ask if that is a way, you know, could be marked. That's where I had to guess what.
Yes, we will be happy to.
Yeah, to have it, to get the good result is to do it well.
Yeah, right. No, we will send you a set this tomorrow. Thank you for saying. And also, Magnus, as you start working with them, knowing what they are, you'll start to see them properly, too. Because you'll feel them, too.
I hope so.
You will. Trust me, you will.
Because like I was saying, the 250 colors, I got so much using them that sometimes I look at yellow, I use the name, and another yellow set. Different name, but they kind of look like the same. I get confused.
Okay.
I kind of try to rely on the names.
Okay.
So.
We'll take care of it, okay?
Okay, then. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, what about dragon breath versus snort the fox?
Well, you... Okay.
We picture it going into our lungs and blow it out.
This isn't... This is a very careful process, and you only get small amounts of fire energy at a time.
Okay.
In other words, with an energy box, you probably get the equivalent of 10 or more dragon's breath. So it's a lot more, you see? But dragon's breath would be a way to get rid of it if it was still in the lungs. Or in the body at all, really, because you can use dragon's breath to take it out of anywhere in the body. But direct grounding would be faster.
Okay.
You know. And we're going to talk about that too in just a minute. Okay. But before we talk about direct grounding into an outlet or any electrical ground, we have to know what the body flows are. And the body flows are...
Alan?
Yes.
Can I just ask you one thing about the breath? I'm not sure that I understood the distinction about if you're working with pain.
Well, because you can feel it.
Okay, so the only difference then is that you don't need a color source?
Because you feel it.
Okay.
You know, as long as you're breathing the pain out, so to speak.
Okay.
The fire that you can feel associated with the pain. I mean, and that works best probably if it's in the head area or, I mean, if it's like your big toe that's hurting, it may be so far away that it's hard to tell without looking at a color.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But things like causing toothaches are so obvious. They feel hot, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Or a headache often feels hot. And so... the heat from that comes out so easily with the breath. I don't even bother to do any of the lungs there. I just breathe the breath out and pick up the fire from the head or the mouth.
Okay. I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. So the body flows are from the head down. Now, these are the magical energy body flows. There are other things, flows in terms of meridians, of acupuncture, and so forth. But these are the major... flows that we are going to be talking about using are from the head down to the hands and to the feet throughout the body, you know, downwards. And from the back of the body to the front of the body. And from the inside of the body to the outside. And then we'll be talking about our output hand and our input hand, which magically it can be either way. You can learn to do it either way. But for most, your output hand, the hand that gets rid of energy easiest, is the hand you use to point to things. And most right-handed people, that's your right hand. Most left-handed people, that could be your left hand. But whatever seems to be your predominantly used hand is your output hand. And then the opposite hand is the hand that you pull in energies or take in energies with. Okay. So to direct flow fire energy, you can take in fire energy simply by pulling fire energy from any color source of fire energy in through your input hand and allowing the energies, just like you take them in from a fire box up your arms. You just palm up, reach towards the color source or touch the color source and flow that energy into your body. But you will get a lot of energy that way, quickly. So be a little careful how long you do it. Don't think, oh, this is great, I'll do it for 5 minutes. I don't think. Okay. There is interference again, so you all need the star six. Somebody's not on star six, if I can hear it. Okay, so in the to decrease fire energy, you simply put your hand on a ground, your output hand. If you're left hand, if you're right-handed, that's your left hand. I'm sorry, that's your right hand. Put your output hand on an electrical ground and look at the color you want to get rid of and flow it out of you. And that's a very quick way to get rid of excess fire energy. Now, of course, honoring body flows, if you've got, say, excess fire energy in the lower part of the body, you probably need to flow it out through your feet on an outlet or electrical ground. We're going to talk more about that next week when we get into very specific methods of handling fire energy and doing healing work and so forth. But these are the general rules that you go with. So, again, it's the best way, the most effective way, is to make sure you are in contact with the electrical ground. But taking in energy, you can pull from a color source either at a distance or touching it. Either will be fairly effective. We pull much easier than we get rid of. So always at this point, for getting rid of excess, put your hand or your foot or some part of your body on an electrical ground. Refrigerators work really well because you can hug the refrigerator and get rid of a lot that way. Now, there's this other technique that is learning to throw fire energy. And this is very, very important because we're not going to always be just handling it directly, i.e. in contact with the ground. You want to learn how to throw, like lightning bolts if you want, fire energy at a distance. And so this is how you practice it. It's not as easy as you think. So you want to practice by touching a color source with your input hand and a target with your output hand, so that you can feel the energy flow through you across your shoulders and go out the other side. Now, to throw the energy out, whether it's directly touching or at a small distance, a couple of feet, 3 inches, whatever, you want your output hand calm down. You may even want to make a little more definite a shooting device by only using your first two fingers as your output, almost like a knife blade. So, if you want to get used to a distance throwing energy, you might still want to have a color source that you can touch with your left hand palm up, or you can take two candles, a red candle to pull from, a white candle to shoot at, light them, and stand between them and pull with your input, your left hand, palm up from the red candle, and fire at, with your right hand, palm down, two fingers out, at the white candle. And what you're going to find out is your aim isn't so good. Even though it looks like you're shooting directly at the candle flame, you notice it doesn't move. When you get your aim better, it will start to move. It takes practice. Because this energy does not go necessarily in exactly a straight line any more than lightning goes in a straight line. It sort of zigzags through the air, and you've got to sort of move your hand around at your target up and down and back and forth until you see where it's hitting. And then you'll probably see the candle begin to wiggle. Flame, I mean, not the candle. Candle will probably stay there. That does take some practice, but it's doable. And that builds up your ability, so later on when we talk about doing lightning rodding and fireballs and lightning bolts, it'll be easier to do. So that's the way to practice this. And then next week we're going to show you how to actually completely change another person's fire energy if it's, you know, being bothersome and so forth. But remember, even now, if you're in an environment where there are sounds, noises, or that's fire energy too, or a bunch of anger putting out, say, in an office situation or wherever, a restaurant, whatever, all you have to do is get to a ground and dump some red, orange, or yellow, orange fire energy. Questions or comments? Maybe you have to start six if you want to talk. No? No.
Alan?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but on one when I took the class the first time, I had a physician that was being very irate.
Right.
And it just so happened that our order sheets are red-orange. And he came in, he was stomping around and storming around and just, you know, being a real obnoxious person. And I direct flowed energy out of him into an electrical ground. And this man has not been the same since.
Does he kind of leave you alone?
Yes, he does. And when he does approach me, he is very appropriate.
Yeah, that's really good to tell everybody, Sharon, because that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm. And it was very quickly. He became quite tired and went back to his office. And now when he comes over, we don't see those types of behaviors.
Yeah, that is right. That is right. And it only takes one or two times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks.
I love the results, but what I'm wondering about is what about in Rules of the Road, do you have to get permission to do that?
No, you don't.
Not when they're invading your space.
Exactly, because you have a right to sacred space.
Okay.
And so that means that anything that is invading your space, which could be your office, anywhere you are, is your sacred space, right?
Okay.
So whatever is contaminating that, you have a right to take care of that.
Okay. And then, Alan, I have one more question. When people come in and they're asking for help, you know, such as they come into the emergency room.
Sure.
Is it then, I mean, I've questioned this in the past, is it then okay if somebody says, help me, then am I permitted to use magic?
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah, because they are asking for help. And
okay.
It is not magic. Okay. See, if you give a person a drug, that is one form of help.
Mm-hmm.
If you do some form of treatment, that is another form of help. If you do hands-on healing, that is another form of help. There's nothing in the rules of the road that says you have to specify what kind of help you're going to give.
Okay, that's what I need clarified on.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. As long as you have permission. That's why I've told you all, you don't have to tell people what you're going to do. Just say, hey, I might be able to make you feel better. Would you want, is that good for you? You know, is it? That's
I guess one of the questions that comes up for me, and I'm not saying this is your case, Sharon, but it can be so subjective if someone's invading your space. And then if you do magic without permission, I mean, what if somebody else...
Give me an example of how I'm most subjective.
Well, like, what if somebody else didn't perceive someone as angry so much as assertive, but subjectively you feel it's anger?
Oh, everybody felt the anger.
No, I'm not...
Everybody's mortified of this man, or was.
No, that's right. Helen, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Can you, Helen, can you identify red orange energy?
Well, you could just see it glowing out of him.
Yeah, but
you can. I'm not sure if I can. I don't know. I mean, I can. Sometimes when I'm talking to someone else, I'll say someone appeared this way, and they'll say, "Oh no, I saw them that way." And it's not that I don't trust myself, but
talking about subjective. We're not. Magic is not subjective. It's objective. Okay, so why do you think you're going to you're learning how to handle red orange energy boxes?
Well, I guess I just feel clearer if somebody says, you know, I'm in a lot of pain or I'm angry, and they're asking for assistance. It's doing it to someone that isn't necessarily asking for it.
Well, you didn't answer my question.
Why do I think we're working with it?
It's not what I've heard. So why are we working with red orange energy boxes?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking me.
Well, if you do all the red orange energy boxes, or a bunch of them as on the sheets, will you not know by your experience what red orange energy feels like?
Eventually.
Oh, I would say within one day. How many red orange energy boxes have you done so far?
None.
Well, that's my point. By the time you've done two or three, you'll know damn well what red orange energy feels like. And so if somebody is putting out red orange energy, you'll know it. Because you'll say, oh, that's red orange energy.
Well, to answer her question, this gentleman, before, very typically, would come in, slam charts, be cursing, the nurses would scatter, and just by his demeanor, just the way, you can tell if he's in a bad mood just by the way he walks in. And this particular day, he was throwing charts, he was cursing, the nurses were afraid, and I just walked up there and grounded him. He didn't even realize what happened. And he suddenly became quiet. He became more professional in his demeanor. And he hasn't acted that way since. So was that a subjective? No, it was an objective. I mean, it was something you could see.
Like I said, I wasn't necessarily doubting what you did. It just raised the question for me about...
Yeah.
There are times, I mean, I have been in situations where people have different takes on how someone else is, and that's what I was asking. I wasn't questioning you.
But magically, what somebody else's take has nothing to do with us whatsoever.
Okay.
We don't even pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
But why was he acting that way, Ellen? Was it just like too much and it exploded out of him or what?
I'm sorry?
That the doctor?
Oh, well, Sharon was telling about that. But we don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not important. What that person's reasons are or motivations are has nothing to do with the issue. If we see it and it's there and it is disturbing one's sacred space, you handle it. And that makes it so cut and dry, so easy. And Helen, it's not, if, I understand what you're saying. And if you're not sure, then it probably isn't a major issue, right?
Yeah, I would hope so.
Well, if you're not sure, then it's not like really, it's not the same as someone that's abusing you, right?
Right. I mean, I feel like I can show abuse. I've just always been fascinated how people read other people differently and how, you know, one person can see a situation and you know, insist that that person is angry and someone else sees them, insists that they're an entire different way. So it just raised the question in my mind about...
But that, what you're talking about is subjective analysis.
Right.
And what we're laying to do by using the colors and the characteristics and all these explorations, I mean, your example is great. It's really good. Because what it tells us is the precision that we are learning to work with, that we don't sort of consider what is, well, could it, you know, we're not sure, and what do you think? That's the normal approach. But we look at the evidence. What are the characteristics, you know, just like we did in air, looking at a person. You know, you go through that sort of inventory, if need be, and then you come up with the conclusion, yeah, that person is putting out a lot of fire energy that is excessive, and I can see the effects on everybody. Now that you understand, you are not going to harm them by these techniques.
Okay.
So it just gets rid of, in fact, if anything, you're helping them, because that same fire energy could give them a heart attack or a stroke, and will. And so by grounding out some of that energy, it may tire them some.
Uh-huh.
It also will prevent them from having a major catastrophe.
Okay.
So you're not doing a bad thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just got confused with, you know, saying that we need to ask permission to do something.
Yeah, when you...
And in this, there was no permission from the other.
That is correct, but you're dealing with a different level of energy. But when you want to change a person's balances, per se, that they're having no specific effect on you, maybe other than whining, moaning, and complaining, and you could leave, you know, or ask them, I'm real busy, I really can't talk about this right now, if you needed to. Now, of course, if they kept on, you know, like, you're at your desk working and this your neighbor is telling you about their terrible night out on the town with this blind date, and they're just, oh, it was so bad, and I'm so upset, and you're saying, yeah, that's, we could talk about lunch or later, but I've really got to get this work done, and they won't stop, then you could handle that too. You would have a right to handle that. Maybe differently, that's not excess fire energy.
Yeah.
But that may be white reactive, and you could do some things about that. But in the normal course of things, if a person is just hurting and they're not affecting you, then you ask permission.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
So how did Sharon do that? Here comes the mad doctor.
She just...
He's invading her space, so she kicks, say she's right-handed.
Yeah, she just allowed that energy to flow to her ground.
She opened up the palm of her left hand towards him and saw red orange and touched the ground?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. And then,
how would you do that same thing to his telephone?
You can do it through the telephone, yes.
How would you pull that? I understand how you...
Oh, you don't have to pull it as much as you're in contact with the phone, and it's radiative. All you really have to do, you're holding the phone.
Right.
Put your output hand on the ground.
Okay. And then just
look at red orange.
Look at red orange. Okay.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily have to look at red orange because you feel it coming at you, but the value of looking at red orange is that you make sure you flow that color.
Right.
So that you're selective. Because you don't want to get rid of any of your own fire energy, do you see?
Right.
Just that. And now if you're building up some red orange in response because of its motivator, you can flow yours too. It isn't just, oh, I'll only flow there red orange. You are simply flowing red orange energy, wherever it's coming from.
I imagine I'll be experimenting with that this week.
Yes, indeed. And I think we're going to go into that a lot more next week, but we're setting you up for that now. We're giving you the methods to how to know how to do that. You know, so, and of course, now you all are beginning to see how all the homework fits in with the use of this stuff, like from Helen's question and so forth. Why do we do boxes? Because you've got to be able to feel those states. And so you're sensitive to them. You know what they are. And so forth. That some of the stuff you already know because every one of you, I dare say, knows when you're confronted with an angry person. And you probably also know when you're confronted with a person that's in pain. Or has a fever. And so forth. And I agree it gets a little more subtle as you go down. Anger is one of the easiest. But you also know when somebody's fidgeting a lot. Yellow-orange energy. Too much of that. And that can be invading your space, too.
Alan, if you're sensing that someone's angry, but it's more like a passive-aggressive anger.
Sorry.
I mean, the example of somebody stomping and red in the face is pretty easy, but what if it's like a passive-aggressive sort
it's
of...
Still, it's still anger.
Right. I know I have to practice the boxes more, but it's, you know, the kind of thing that can sometimes be harder to...
Nah, it's easier than you can imagine.
Okay.
It's like, you work with this a little bit, you'll be able to spot a passive-aggressive just as easy as an overt shouter practically 100 yards away.
So can I flow my own anger out, or do I need to monitor it with boxes?
No, you can flow your own.
Okay.
Absolutely. Any fire energy can be grounded. Any fire energy from any source. Just don't wipe yourself out. Don't sit there flowing and pass out. Do some, off the ground, see how you feel. Practice. Get sensitive to it. You all ask great questions. So, that's it. Have a good week and beauty.
You too.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.